Furry, KZN's number one hit music station, East Coast Radio.
Now, of course, today's a special, special one because it's part of our continued coverage for 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children. And we've been looking at different forms of abuse. And today we're putting a spotlight on one overlooked and misunderstood and sometimes hardest to detect form of abuse. It's emotional abuse. Now, to unpack this further with us, we have Thobeka Nkosi, who has over 15 years experience in the field of psychology and counseling and deals with this on a day-to-day. Thobeka, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So an important one during the 16 days of activism. Let's talk emotional abuse. Can you fully explain to us what is it?
Emotional abuse is when one has an encounter with an individual that leaves them feeling emotionally distressed, like suffering pain, or they might struggle with mental health. And it's also important to know that you don't have to say anything that will result in a person being emotionally abused. It could be nonverbal.
Yes. You know, so like, is someone ignoring you, for example, in a
space
part of
definitely.
Emotional abuse?
That's a form of emotional abandonment, you know, so leaving the person feeling rejected, or maybe the banging of doors in anger, or withdrawing from normal day-to-day interactions. That's a form of emotional abuse because you're neglecting the individual and they feel all alone, especially in time of conflict.
I see. So intangible experiences, if it's a partner, if you're living in a home and you usually have conversations and this person comes home, doesn't say a word to you, pretends like you don't even exist, this is a form of emotional abuse?
Yes, it's a form of gaslighting or abandoning the individual. So you find a lot of people saying, but I didn't say anything, I was quiet. We have to agree, silence can be really loud.
Yes.
Depending on the person's body language, you know, you can feel the passive aggressiveness leaving the other person feeling anxious, not knowing how to behave around this person.
Because of that energy.
Yes, because of that energy.
And this can translate to the workplace as well.
Definitely.
Where, you know, you are colleagues with someone, walks into a room, greets one person and ignores the next.
Definitely, definitely. It could happen in any environment, you know, in a couple relationship, the workplace, between a parent and a child, you know. One thing that we got to understand about emotional abuse is that it's an imbalance of power in a relationship. It's more about exerting some level of control over the abused or the victim.
Wow.
So when the other person or the abuser feels in control, they feel that they are actually in a position of power and know what's going to happen in the relationship and they feel safe. So it's more about them knowing, okay, I've got this under control, this is what's going to happen and I'm happy with that.
You're
and
right.
Leaving other person dependent on them for the relationship to work.
That's crazy. Okay, here's another element of it. How is emotional abuse different from normal relationship conflict and disagreements?
Disagreements are absolutely healthy in relationships.
Right.
In fact, they are good in relationships because they help us understand each other. They help us establish boundaries.
Yeah.
And disagreements are respectful. They respect a person's thoughts and ideas and actually leaves them feeling respected in the relationship, that, you know what, you're a unique individual that has their own ideas that are accepted, you know, that can be respected. So conflict on the other hand, abuse on the other hand, it's more, it has those characteristics of leaving the person feeling unimportant, powerless, or for lack of a better word, I'm going to say useless, right? So leading to their mental health being affected.
Speaking about the mental health being affected, you know, emotional abuse is often invisible to many around. People don't see it.
Definitely.
It's not like you get physically abused and there's a mark to show it. Emotional abuse is one that you don't see. And sometimes even the victims themselves don't know that they are being emotionally abused. How do you know?
Before we go to how do you know, the reason why it remains invisible, like for instance, if you go to a police station and say, I'm emotionally abused, what are they going to say to you? Where's the evidence?
Right.
Right. So which then becomes difficult for the individual to actually pinpoint.
Exactly.
To
how.
Actually, yes. You know, to say, well, this is what I'm feeling. You know, how can we validate that you're actually feeling this way? So because there's nothing tangible, it leaves the person feeling confused as to whether is this really happening?
Yeah.
And remember, the abuser leaves them them feeling that way, questioning themselves as to whether, am I really being abused? You know, am I really feeling the way? Is it valid? So sometimes it actually is invisible because we're not sure about the signs and symptoms of the emotional abuse. And that's why we end up questioning ourselves, and we're not sure whether, you know, is this valid, or am I the one who's just not being mature about the situation. Or am I the one who's not understanding the relationship? And maybe I need to do more to actually make the relationship work.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why it ends up being actually invisible.
Yeah. Now, Tobeka, to get into the other layers of this, number one, patterns of behavior. Can you unpack for us?
Okay. So the patterns of behavior are really gradual over time. So it kind of programs you over time into accepting that normality or making the abuse normal. So you excuse the behavior. Oh, this is how he is. Or, you know, when he's angry, I have to do this. So gradually over time, you begin to accept it as your new reality and make excuses for the person. So it starts with the love bombing, the kind of love that actually isolates you from your friends and the people that you're familiar with.
And love bombing, for those who don't know, it is when someone literally bombs you with gifts, presents, but all of that in exchange for, it's just for
your freedom,
your
basically
freedom.
Yes,
you don't go out with your friends, you don't go to, because I'm taking you there, I'm doing this, I'm paying for that.
Remember, it's all about control. So they want to control everything that you do so that you're fully dependent on them and you lose your self-worth. You no longer know who you are without that person. And then it becomes emotional unavailability. So you feel like, I need to work harder to get back all the love that was there. I remember that they gave me this love. It's there somewhere deep inside. So let me do something to make them come back. And in the process, what's happening? You're losing yourself, right? There's also the shift blaming, the blaming you all of the time for everything that happens wrong in the relationship. No accountability whatsoever. There's the control, like I mentioned earlier on. The gaslighting, meaning they invalidate everything that you maybe express as a concern in the relationship. Oh, but if you didn't do that, I wouldn't have done this. Oh, but you don't have to feel that way, you know, and you begin to question your own emotions as well. Is it really valid for me to feel this way? The constant criticism. So basically, over time, it affects the relationship that you share with yourself, and you rely on them to feel good about yourself.
Oof, that's really terrifying to think about, being in that space. Another important one is, how do you take your power back? Somebody's sitting in their car in their office and they've just had an epiphany now that they are in an emotionally abusive relationship. How do you take your power back?
So what I say in my sessions, a lot of people first quickly jump to saying, I want to leave, right? And oftentimes the pattern is that they leave and then they come back, right? Because they haven't really worked on the core of the issue, which is the fact that your self-worth is low and you no longer believe that you can survive on your own. So what I often encourage is that work on the relationship that you share with yourself. Sit down and ask yourself, why do I feel the way that I do about myself? Why can't I love myself? Why is my worth externalized rather than it being internal? And start doing things that actually feed you into feeling good about yourself without relying on the person. So do the self-work. Build a relationship with self first before you expect to build a relationship with other people. And in the process, what that does, it actually helps you build boundaries to say, no, I don't want that. I'm not going to tolerate or accept that because I deserve this. So you can tell a person all you want that, you know, you deserve good things, but if they don't believe it, it's not going to help. So they need to start working on nourishing themselves internally first and doing things that actually make them see themselves that way, for them to eventually make a decision to say, you know what, I don't deserve this, I'm leaving.
And a lot of this work can be done with the help of a counselor. I believe in counseling, I believe in therapy, I believe in any form of change in your life begins with you.
Definitely.
And if you take the time to invest in self, then you will reap the benefits. But if you do not, you find yourself in situations that could be very complicated. So I loved what you're saying about starting to do the work on self.
Yes,
because
definitely.
Loving yourself first is there where you put the boundaries to say, I will not tolerate this.
And loving yourself is actually not only just physical, it's also just psychological, emotional, as well as spiritual. So you got to be like holistic in how you take care of yourself.
Right. I wish I could get into the rest of my questions, but I think I need to get to my final one.
Okay.
And I would say, what do you say to a victim of emotional abuse right now?
To the victim, again, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier on. Mm. Work on building a relationship with yourself. Mm. So oftentimes what I find is that it doesn't only start from the love relationship, for instance, that you would feel that way about yourself. It's already there that your self-worth is low. It could stem from your childhood, you know, your perception of love, your understanding of how love is supposed to be, what you're supposed to be expecting in a relationship. So a lot of people think just because of age, we're ready to relationship.
Yeah.
But it's more than that.
Yeah,
it's you more. Understanding who am I? What do I want? How do I perceive love to be?
Mm.
So it's important to really ask yourself those questions first, relationship with yourself and understand yourself first. And when you find yourself in such circumstances, go back to your drawing board and really evaluate, did I do justice to all the things that I said I wanted for myself?
Right.
And if not, what is stopping me from doing that?
Mm.
And start doing the inner work. So the most important is the inner work, and everything else on the outside really takes care of itself.
And now I would love you to speak to abusers in this space. What do you say to a person who is emotionally abusing his partner, his colleagues, whoever?
Mm.
What do you say to them? Because they are going to identify themselves now.
Oftentimes, abusers are not even aware sometimes that they're even doing that, because, you know, sometimes what the saying that goes that, you know, abused people sometimes become the abusers too, right? So sometimes it's actually learned behavior.
Mm.
They're not even conscious of the fact that they're now actually exerting the same behavior or treating people the same way that they were treated too.
Yeah.
So I'm encouraging that they shouldn't really be ashamed of what they went through. They should face all those experiences so that they're able to work on themselves and actually learn new ways of relationshiping. So it's actually usually just transgenerational trauma that's passed on from generation to generation, and people are not really conscious. And sometimes it's anxiety as well, the fear of losing people, and then you feel control will help you keep the people. In the process, you then abuse other people. So I would say they should also seek help, go for counseling, ask for support, because oftentimes when people are aggressive, it's because of pain that they feel inside, but they're much more comfortable expressing it as aggression and hurting other people because they feel as if they're protecting themselves from the pain.
Right.
So deal with the pain that you feel inside by going for counseling so that you don't find comfort in treating other people that way.
Carol Ofori, East Coast Radio.